read the first three verses together. I speak the truth. Are you ready? I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. The temple worship and the promises. These are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all. Well, that's proof that you guys love reading scriptures. That's good, that's good. few weeks ago, December 31st, many of you were in a winter conference. I have a speaker coming in from Toronto, Dr. Anthony Chan, who is my friend for more than 10 years. So the beginning of 2017, he actually sent me an email telling me that he will be in Calgary in December, and would I allow him to come up and preach in my church? I said, of course. So he came December 31st when many of you were outside winter conference on holidays. He was speaking in the CMC worship. And he was using this passage. Can you show the first PowerPoint? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 to chapter 3, verse 5. He was talking about how do you know relationship between Christians? Is there a genuine relationship? So it's a test of love. So he was using 3 points in that passage. And the first one is, I miss you. And it's very important, he said, that in China, when people haven't seen each other a long, long time, when they met, you know, Chinese are very reserved. So the only thing they might say, you know, I miss you. You know, that word has a lot of weight behind it. So he was using this and say, between brothers and sisters, that is a test for love. Do you miss someone when that person has not shown up for a long, long time? Do you remember? Do you think of that person? Of course, the other one is sharing joy and happiness. And the third one is sharing hardship. Would you be able to take on something that when a person is going through difficult times? And I think our church is doing really well about that when people going through some tough time. And we have many brothers and sisters who quietly came together and helped. So that was a test of love, and I want to, from that point, to talk about Romans chapter 9 today. He was talking about Christian living, and when Christians live together, he's very good. I have asked him to come to my formal church in Toronto at least 2 or 3 times a year because he was such a great preacher. He is a professor at Ryerson University. He also a professor teaching in different seminaries in Hong Kong, in China, and he wrote books, a lot of books, and he talks a lot of conferences. So he is a really good preacher. So every time he came to our church, my formal church, and our people really enjoy his sermons. So he was talking about he was really good with about Christian living. But today I want to share with you Romans chapter 9, verses 1-5. And the topic for this year, the journey of growth, I think this is, I had a struggle. My seriousness is, I had a struggle whether I should continue Romans. And Pastor Henry was asking me the beginning of January, you know, what are you going to preach for 2018? I was just praying and thinking, you know, should I continue with Romans? So at the end, I decided to go on, and I believe this is the first one, a journey of growth. So the context, if you look at Romans chapter 9, especially the whole chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, many scholars believe that these three chapters, Paul is using it as to prove or to discuss between justification by faith and the promises of God. Are there any problems between the two. So based on that, I just want to study Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5 with you today. The context is addressing the desire to reach the lost. That's the background. Okay, so when you hear this sermon today, that is the background. Paul was talking about how to reach a group of people, to him, his own people, Jewish people. Of course, in those days, we all agree that Paul had never met every single Jewish people in the entire Roman Empire. So when he was talking about his own kinsmen, no, he was not thinking about every individual Jewish person, but he was talking about a nation, a people that had God's promises. And how could he reach them? That is the context, that's the background. But in his first, especially first three verses, we want you to, let's look at this together about Christian growth. Dr. Chen was talking about Christian living. Starting today, we're going to talk about Christian growth. And I want to ask you three questions today. And starting from verse 1, and then a second question from verse 2, and then a third question is from verse 3. So the context, the background, is to reaching the lost. Okay, this is the background. And I want to discuss this with you as Paul unfolds his heart. I think there's something to do with Christian growth that I think we need to look into. The first question I want to ask you, I want to ask myself, is do you care? The first question I want to ask is, do you care? Verse 1, Paul was talking about something that is, you know, he wanted to put this out right away. Chapter 8, ending chapter 8, he was in a triumphant spirit. People will be saved by God because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one justified by faith will become children of God. But he turned to chapter 9, and then all of a sudden, you feel like you were in a mountain, but all of a sudden, you came down to the valley. He was such a hard time trying to figure out this for his own people, a group of lost people. So the first question I want to ask you, do you care? Do you care? Verse 1, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirmed it in the Holy Spirit. So he was talking about Jesus, Holy Spirit, his own conscience. He wants to speak something deep down from his heart. It is truth from his own conscience and testified by God, by our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. My question to you today, brothers and sisters, can you face yourself and ask real questions in your life? The first question I want to ask you, as I said, in the context of reaching the lost, do you care for the lost? The first question we all need to ask ourselves. Verse 1. Before God, speaking the truth, testified, you know, by our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you look into your own conscience. Do we really care about the lost? That's my first question I want to ask each one of us. I'm asking real, tough, honest questions. Don't give me those standard answers. I'm asking you. I'm asking myself, do we really care about the lost? The second question, do you care about your spiritual growth? Have you thought about this? Have you even in a quiet moment, have you thought about what is wrong with my Christian life? How come I'm not growing? You know, I look at the scriptures, you turn the Bible and say, wow, Jesus, Paul, Peter was talking about, you know, what kind of Christian living that we should be, you know? We should be more like Jesus. We should have a strong desire to know God, to know, to try to reach the lost, you know, to build wonderful relationship between brothers and sisters. But the question we have, and sometimes you do not like to ask, is what is wrong with my Christian life? That I'm not doing all these things. I'm not in that position. I have no desire to grow. What is wrong with me? Will you ask those questions? Genuinely, honestly, like verse 1, Paul was setting himself up to talk about his desire to reach out to his own people. So he wants to say something that from his, you know, true conscience and his deep down looking into his own heart and say, do I really care? What I'm going to talk to you about, he said, this is my desire. This is why I want to address these issues. My people is lost. Seems they have a promises of God, but it seems they never will come to know Jesus. When Paul was writing the book of Romans, it was about 50 AD, 55 AD. So he already knew that after 20-some years, the Jewish people were not coming to Christ. They could not see him as a Messiah. So he was facing a very difficult situation. What in the world I address these issues of saving by faith, but at the same time, my people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, had so many God's promises, but they seem to be getting lost. Do you have this kind of desire? Look into yourself and say, what is wrong with me? I don't care about the loss. I don't care about whether I'm growing or not. Or you just try to avoid it, like many of us, and say, this is just part of life. You know, when we are not honest, when we are avoiding all these tough questions, you know, you're actually eating up our spiritual life. I tell you two stories of pastors. November 2017, my wife and I went to a prayer retreat of our district. Pastor Henry has gone many years. So last year we were there second time. I think it was Wednesday night. The preacher, right now he's the senior pastor of Redsdale Alliance Church in Toronto. So he was talking about, honestly, I don't remember which passage he was talking about, but I remember the stories that he was talking. An important aspect in our lives that he was trying to address to all the pastors, few hundred pastors sitting in that room. And he was talking about a few years ago, maybe Pastor Henry will remember, he was talking about he was losing his passion, energy, strength when it comes to preaching. He found out that he had a hard time dragging his own feet, coming to the stage and preach a sermon. As a pastor, you know, this is deadly if you cannot preach anymore. So he was struggling, and so he was looking for mentors that he had, you know, to discuss these issues. He was talking to his colleagues about all these things. So he had so much coffee, you know, talking to other people, trying to find out what the problem I have. How come I'm not preaching? I don't want to preach anymore. What is wrong with me? So he was talking to many people. One day, he said that after he had coffee with another pastor, tried to figure out what was going on, and then he went back to his car. He was sitting in the car. He was praying. He was just so desperate. He was crying to God. And all of a sudden, God came. You know, he was looking for answers for so long, and eventually, God spoke to him directly and speak to him saying that, do you remember many years ago, one night in your office, or study at home, I think? He said, you actually said that when you were preparing a sermon. You said, nobody cares about sermon anymore. That was the lie he bought in. He believed that whether he preached or not, doesn't make any difference to the people that he preached to every Sunday after Sunday. Because looking at the congregations, maybe one-third is kind of sleeping, one-third is kind of daydreaming, and one-third is just, please hurry up, you know. So what is the point of preaching anymore? You know, that lie he bought into, actually slowly eating him up, a few years later, he had no desire to preach anymore. And I was sitting there, listening to these lies, all these things. I said, well, as all the people sitting, you know, when preacher is preaching something, you know, oh, let me think about it. So I was thinking, you know, what kind of lie do I get? And actually, Joanna Also, God was speaking to both of us. We find out each other's lives when we get back to our room. But I was sitting there, I was listening to him. Okay, that hurts, you know, you cannot preach anymore. And thank God, you know, God actually told him the lie, what the lie was. So I was thinking to myself, he was asking us, you know, what kind of lie do you have? So I was thinking, oh, what kind of lie do I have? And God actually reminded me again, spoke to me. I was sitting there listening. He said, one of the lies you believe in, 30 years ago, I could not share the gospel and led people to Christ. You know why, how I got this lie? 30-some years ago, I was in Perry Bible Institute, Three Hills, 3 hours drive from here, a little bit more than one hour from Calgary. I was there second year. You know, in those days, you have to serve so-called Christian practice, you know, to graduate. So a bunch of us, young guys, Chinese guy, we drove a school car to Calgary, plugged into a Baptist church. So every other Sunday, we went to Calgary, winter or no, you know, snow or not, you know, we went there. And after lunch, the pastor will try to tell us, okay, this area has so many Chinese homes. You know, he checked the phone book. In those days, no Googles, okay? We're talking about over 30 years. So he was looking at the phone books, find out all those Chinese names, and then say, okay, these houses are in our church areas. So you guys go and knock the door. So in those days, we don't have a Canada Goose. It was very cold. And we're just standing outside, knocking doors. 90%, you are still in the street, knocking doors. Nobody opened the door for you. Nobody welcomed you, even though it was minus 30 outside. So once in a while, we got into the house. And then we start talking. You know, all these conversations we can have, but except the gospel. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. Even they, you know, they allow you to share the gospel, nobody believes. I have a teammate, you know, came back after the visit, and we would get together, and they said, oh, yeah, we talked to somebody. You know, they accepted Christ. And my team, myself, I never. 3 years. I'm doing this 3 years until my senior years. Nobody accepted Christ because the way I share the gospel or I just share the gospel. Nobody. So my conclusion was, when I graduated, I could not do evangelism. That is not my strength. That is not my gift. My gift is Bible study. My gift is preaching. My preaching maybe. You know, all these wonderful things. Sunday school, all those things. Oh, yeah, Bible. Love that. Okay, let me do discipleship. Forget about evangelism. For over 30 years, I believe I'm no good for evangelism. I'm very good in discipleship. In Toronto, the church that I served for 15 years, that church, even though it was a very small church, but they have a big heart for evangelism. We have 3 to 4 gospel Sundays every year, and we invite speakers who are very good with that. My leaders, my elders asked me, Pastor said, why don't you preach Gospel Sundays? I said, no. I'm no good. I don't want to waste the opportunity, you know. Only 3 or 4 times a year. Of course, we want to get somebody who can do well, led people to Christ, you know. Find those speakers. We call up people. You know, I call up those guys and say, can you come and preach the word of God? Do evangelistic meeting, but not me. That was the lie I bought to. I have no mentally desire to serve, to share the gospel. Intentionally, at least. You know, in the last 30-some years, I had opportunity to share the gospel with people. I was so impressed myself, you know. The way I shared the gospel, it was just flawless. It was so good. You know, because I know Romans really well. The book of Romans. So I present the gospel, you know. Perfect. But nobody except Christ. That was the problem. So my conclusion was, don't touch it. It's not my area. And I think that is a lie that I think, I don't know why this one is not working. Oh, can we go? Oh, yeah. And then the speaker said that, how do we address that lie that you have? So he pointed out 4 points. So I use a camera, you know, 21st century. I took the picture, and then I put it out. Ask Jesus, have you believed in some lies in your life? Renounce the lie and then agree with the truth. You have to find the true scriptures to tell you that you have suffered a lie there for many years. For some it's a couple years, for some it's just many years. You see, I like the fall. You invite Jesus to heal. It's a wound. It's a spiritual wound. When you believe in those lies, you actually, eventually, it's going to destroy your spiritual life. That is the purpose of Satan's lie. You come to a conclusion that you will not do anything about it when you believe in those lies. And I think this is very important. And Paul was honest to himself. He came to see that this is the problem that he has. One of the lies that we believe in is that we still have time to share the gospel. This is a big, fat lie that we have in our lives. If you look at Luke chapter 19, if you have a opportunity, look at Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and the following. It was describing Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. That was his last trip to Jerusalem. 6 days later, he was crucified. So this is the last trip. People looking at Jerusalem, he was crying. You know, a lot of people say he was crying for the loss, of course. But if you read the whole passage, Jesus said the city was going to be destroyed soon. You see, that sense of urgency was there when Jesus looking at the Jerusalem. 70 AD, Jerusalem was completely destroyed by Roman Empire. So Jesus was looking at that city and say, people were lost. Wait a minute, people are lost too in Edmonton. But you see, we don't have that sense of urgency. And Jesus said, the city will be destroyed. All these people will be destroyed. Will be dead, seriously dead. They had no chance to hear the gospel. But we don't have that sense of urgency in Edmonton, in Toronto, whatever city we are in. We believe we still have time. That is the problem that I think we are believing in. The second question I want to ask you, time flies, so I have to fly too. Do you care enough? Verse 2, do you care enough? You look at that, Paul was talking about unceasing anguish. He was emotionally involved, not just knowledge. Now, our problem is knowledge. We know people are lost, but we do not have that broken feelings that we have for the lost. I think that is the problem most of us have. Knowingly, we know, knowledge, people are heading to hell. They are going one-way street without Christ's intervention. We know that, but we don't feel that way. We don't have that sense of anguish, brokenness for the lost. And I think that is our problem. We are not engaging emotionally, feelings-wise, about the lost, and that's one of the things that we are facing today. Do we have constant burdens for others? You see, I think our church has some problems. Of course, every church has problems, Pastor. Of course we know that. I'm talking about how do we do church. I think the way we do church, we have problems. We do not do it well, I think. The way we do church, just imagine this journey with me. When someone became Christians, what do we do with him or her? Slap them? No, of course not. What do we do with them? Invite them to church, join small group, go to fellowship, go to Sunday school, do this, do that in the weekends, and we say to them, you are doing fine. This is Christian life. Weekends, you are busy. Trust me, you are busy. Either you go to small group, fellowship, Bible, Sunday school, meetings, all kinds of meetings that you are attending to, And then we leaders, church leaders, say, you see, these people are very involved. They should be leaders someday. And then we develop them to be leaders. And they believe, okay, Christian life is like that. Every weekend, busy at church, you are doing well. People will love you, and you. This is Christian. Monday to Friday, we don't talk about that. Your church leaders don't talk about that. Then you believe, okay, Christian living has nothing to do with my workplace. I have to be very good weekends, act out, live out like a Christian. But Monday to Friday, leave me alone, okay? And the church say, okay, fine. I don't get to see you anyway, so do your thing. And then we buy into this lie, okay, Christian life is equal to weekends, attending churches, attending, not churches, attending events of church, that we are okay. And some of them become leaders, and they train others the way they were brought up to. Busy with weekends, you are fine. Oh, please, we have problems. As your pastor, I believe many churches have these problems. We're sending the wrong signals to our people. And we do not do well when it comes to the loss. We do really well. Let's get together, have fellowship, you know, build relationship, wonderful relationship between Christians. How many of you, after 10 or 20 years of being a Christian, you still have non-Christian friends? I'm not talking about just say hi to those colleagues. I mean talking about friends. After 20 years, do you still have non-Christian friends? Because the church is driving you to spend all your time weekends with the church people. So at the end, you're losing connection with others. As I preached the sermon, I already said that ahead of time, CMC, MMC this morning, I'm going to offend somebody when I'm preaching this sermon. We are doing church a little bit off. I think we need to bring it back. We need to do something just like Jesus did. I think we're going to do something about it as a church. You know, the feelings that we are missing for others. This is what Dr. Chen said in one of his books. Unfortunately, the book is written in Chinese, so I have to kind of translate with my limited knowledge of translations. So basically, that's what he said. Human is the combination of knowledge, emotions, and will. Spiritual meaning and religious experience are basically carried on, are being carried, should be, are being carried on not by knowledge, emotions, and will. Human problems are the problem of knowledge, emotions, and will. So he was talking about the three components of humans. You know, I'll give you an example. Your knowledge, water, you would get drowned in the water, in the ocean. So what's your feeling about water, oceans? You're a little bit scared. So you determine not to get too close to the water. Knowledge, emotions, and will. We carry our daily lives like that. We react to the Word of God, we react to God based on that too. When we come to know the truth will set us free. But a lot of time we buy into a lot of lies, not complete knowledge, and our feelings react to it, and then we make the wrong decisions with so many things. And Dr. Chen was talking about that. I think this is very important to see that, because I think the last one he was talking about, well, some people know Chinese, so allow me to use some Chinese today, okay? Because Chinese is very romantic in this case. Where your feelings are, your heart will be also. The scripture talks about money, but I'm talking about feelings. Where your feelings are, your heart will also be. You know why? Because STM Aruba last year, the whole team went and come back and say that we want to go back again. Do you know why? I'm sure you know why, because they build relationship with people over there. So their heart is there. They're missing them. So they try to, you know, to go back again. Because they build relationships, the feelings, the emotions pay out in STM. They were intentionally sent out. They picked 2 weeks of their lives and went to Aruba. They were very much intentionally to reach out to people and build relationships. After all these relationships, and they want to go back. After they came back, many of them kind of indirectly telling me, Pastor, can we go back? I said, no. No, I'm just kidding. I said, well, we'll see. Because I told them ahead of time, because I went to STM 3 times of my life, I knew that. I told them, when you went, you come back, you want to go back again, for sure. Because you build that feelings for a group of people because of your intentionally reaching out to them, try to connect with them, and you have that feelings for them, and you miss them, you want to be, your heart is over there. Brothers and sisters, you can apply these same situations in Edmonton right here. If you are intentionally, if I'm intentionally reach out to people that are lost, we build these relationships, I'm sure you are always thinking of them and try to reach out to them in all kinds of ways. And that part, I think, we are missing in the church, in doing church. We give you a lot of knowledge. But we do not allow you, or we do very little about connecting with people. Build that feelings for them, that emotional involvement with them. And so we know a lot. December, Christmas comes. Do you know what we do? We go to Toronto. I mean, not Toronto. Edmonton, downtown. We help people. You know, Home Mission, Master Seed. Once a year, we go there. Those are good gestures. But I think we're doing those for ourselves, to make ourselves feeling better. But if you do not do it regularly, you don't build that relationship, you only go once a year or less, if you are busy. Okay, so my last questions I want to ask you is, do you care enough to do something about it? Verse 3, Paul was talking about nonsense. He said that, well, let's trade salvation, you know. God, take my salvation if my people can receive salvation. Take mine. You know, he's such an arrogant guy, you know. One guy replaced the whole nations. Just kidding. You see the desire. Even though it was not logical, it was not theologically sound, it was not possible, but he was talking about, seriously, he was talking about verse 1. Genuinely, he was saying that, let's make a trade. If I can see my people to know Christ, God, take my salvation. You know, he cares enough to do something about it. Brothers and sisters, do you care enough to do something about it? We make a lot of, what do you call those? Commitments. We go to different conferences. You show up at the front. You make some strong commitments. But how many of us actually seriously follow through those commitments that we made before God? Now we are smarter. As you get older, like me, you don't make commitments anymore. Because you know you're going to fail. How sad it is. But it's true. Many older Christians, they don't make commitment anymore because they know they cannot carry out. That is sad. The church is not helping. Seriously, we are not helping. Meaning that we do not know who made that commitment. We do not follow up on those commitments. That's why I'm saying we are not doing right in terms of doing church. And I hope the next coming few years we are going to turn this around. We want to learn from Jesus. I don't want to learn from another church how they do church. I want to learn from Jesus how he built his kingdom, how he built his church. Last but not the least, I have a story to tell you. I think this story reflects what is going on with church these days. There's a guy, evangelist. His name is Eddie Martin. He went to a town conducting evangelistic meetings. You know, usually it's 4 or 5 nights. So one of the church family, wealthy family, hosts him. So he's staying there for a few nights. So one night, he was talking to the wife and said, "Oh, tonight we have an evangelistic meeting. Are you coming?" The wife said, "No, I'm not coming because I have an important mission committee meeting." Mission committee members? Mission committee meeting. So I'm not coming. And this evangelist said, "Oh, that's interesting. You know, when your church has such a big evangelistic meeting, I thought all other meetings would be canceled." Well, and this wife tried to get even. Mission is important too. We try to save people just like you do. And this evangelist, of course, fight back as usual. "Okay, I'm not sure. You know why? Because I was just talking to your maid, your servant, lady servant, maid, yesterday. I asked her, are you a Christian? She said, no. How long have you been working here? A few years. You know, your boss, your employer, have they shared gospel with you? No." And he actually led this lady to Christ. So he was talking to this wife. "I don't think you really mean business about saving people." So this wife's very upset. He just walked away, went to his mission committee meeting. And then this evangelist was standing here preaching. In the middle of the meeting, this wife came back in. And then at the end, he made an altar call. The wife came first, standing at the front. And he was crying. And this is what she said. "I have been a phony, and I need you to forgive me. I have loved church work. I have loved mission work. And I have loved this church. But I haven't loved lost people the way Jesus loved lost people. I want you to forgive me, and I want God to forgive me." See the sentence? She was so busy loving the church, all the mission work, all the church work, all the meetings, but she lost the focus. So at the end, Christian growth, I think first one we need to learn is be honest to ourselves. When it comes to Christian growth, the first thing I think we need to be is to be honest with ourselves. Look into your lives, into your heart, in your conscience. Do I care about the lost? Do I care about growth as a Christian? Do I really want to be more like Jesus? Ask yourself. Address those lies that in your life that you have. Satan has told you many lies. Some will destroy you, eat you up slowly. Sorry to use this kind of description. But truly, the lies will eat you up. Just like what the lies did to this pastor in Ragsdale Alliance Church, and the lie I had for over 30 years. The last one, do something about it. Do something about it. Whether it's the truth, whether it's to those lies, we need to do something about it. Let's pray.